preacher.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Enjoyed it very much. Well, let's see. Mark Rice stories. Where do I begin? Well, I guess I would begin with a Don Rice story. I would imagine you all have never met his dad. I wish you could have. He was a great man of God. Maybe one of the friendliest men I've ever met in my life. I've never received more hugs from another man than Don Rice. And Don Rice pastored in Wyoming, but he went to Fritch. And Fritch is a little bitty town. And there's nothing pretty in Fritch. It'd be one ugly Texas town. And Don Rice stayed there how many years? 36 years. I preached there probably four times, and I can tell you that each time I went there, I just left not the church, but left the community just thinking, man, I don't know how the man survives there. It's a hard place, some hard people. And God knew exactly what Fritch needed. They needed a kind, loving, Bible-preaching man named Don Rice. And Don Rice is a big man. When he walked in the room, his mere size commanded attention. And then when he got to laughing and joking and loving on people, his voice commanded that. You all don't know this, but Mark's a lot like his dad. I was so glad to learn just recently that he's up here. I guess I have lost track. And I'm not surprised that he's here. And then seeing him here in action, I'm not surprised. Because Mark, when he came to Heartland, he had a lot of fun. My word, you've known that. I mean, we did have to hire extra security guards, to be honest with you. But he was a servant. There wasn't anybody on the campus of Heartland Baptist Bible College the time that young man was a student that did not love him. I don't know anybody. And that's just the simple fact of his testimony. He's easy to love. But he was a servant, and I'm not surprised he's here serving. You know, in the ministry, you only do one of two things. You either pastor or you help somebody pastor. That's it. You either pastor or you help somebody pastor. And I, at least from the 2 days I've been here, Mark Rice is helping the pastor. Yep. Yep. And y'all have a wonderful opportunity. And I think of Don Rice. You know, he lived in that town, and I don't know all the details, but I'm confident that there's times that Don and his wife and his children, I'll just be honest with you, did without. And he didn't pack up and leave. He stayed there and saw the church through some hard times. And then he sent his sons and his daughters to Heartland. And you're getting to see the fruits of his mother and dad. And when Mark came to Heartland, he was, let's see, would you have been in the third Rice kid or the second Rice? Third to come. And Heartland is a school that his dad was associated with when Heartland was in California's Pacific Coast Baptist Bible College. And it's a school, Heartland now, where I work at. It's a school supported by churches. And it makes it very affordable to those. I'm not trying to embarrass him at all. But I promise you, if there wasn't churches that supported Heartland Baptist Bible College, Mark Rice never could have come to Heartland. He never could have afforded it. I'm confident. I'm not trying to embarrass him. But that little bitty town, there wouldn't have been much to help. And so when I think about that, I think you all are seeing the fruits of some sacrifice of his mom and dad. And I'm telling you, his dad remains in my heart as a friend, one of the most precious friends I had. And I wish I had more time with his dad before he passed away. Mark was a fun student. When we started something called a Vacation Bible School team, which is something that I almost shot myself in the foot for doing, because I came up with the idea. And then I said, we're just going to send them around, 6 to 8 hours around Oklahoma City in the summertime, so we wouldn't have to send a sponsor with them, because, it's, again, another expense. So we picked young men that were supposed to be responsible. And we picked him. And I mean, the whole summer, every day, I was sweating it. Am I going to get the call today, the call today, the call today? Because he went out unsupervised. Can you believe we did that? No, I can't believe it either. His dad didn't believe it. His dad often said to me, what were you thinking? But he went out. So if you can imagine, we let three young men go out unsupervised. The quality of them could only be very high to allow them to do that. And I never regret sending that young man out. Never. So I tried to fix him up with some other young ladies, Kim, and it never worked. And so I'm glad that now it never worked. So I really don't have any bad stories to tell on Mark. You're not surprised, are you? He's a goody two-shoe. He really is. He's a preacher's kid that he's just been like that all his life. You're a blessed church to have this man as the lead, Brother Mark is the help, and then you all, because I can see that it's not just these two guys. It's everybody. Yep. Amen. See, that's just the way it's supposed to be. It is just the way it's supposed to be, but it actually makes you all not normal. You're not a normal church. I travel enough around to know that oftentimes a church will just kind of pull away and say, that's just the staff's job. That's just the job of the staff. That's not in the Bible at all. In the Bible, this is everybody's got responsibilities here. And so I mean this in a complimentary way. You're not normal. You're biblical, but you're not normal. You know, and I would even dare to say, even in this community, there's churches that have just kind of said, let's just hire somebody to do everything. You just don't hire everybody to do everything. So with that in mind, thank you for your participation in all of this, and having this young couple and even your support for Heartland. It means a lot. We'll be graduating somewhere about 88 students this next May, all of them going into ministry, completely debt-free, free of any debt. If he had debt from college, I guarantee you he couldn't be doing what he's doing right now. He just couldn't. And so they'll be graduating and going into ministry all around the country. And so we're so thankful for it. If you're ever down Oklahoma City way, come see us. Love to give you a tour myself. And after being here, I am renewed to say I need to get Brother Jeremy to come down and preach chapel. And now he needs to bring his children. He's been keeping his children away from us because they've been homeschooled. I think the kids deserve a week off. Amen?
Amen.
You don't have to bring Tiffany if you don't want to. She can stay. She needs the week off. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I would imagine that everybody, when you hear Hebrews chapter 10, you're thinking verse 25. Not forsaking ourselves together. Well, you're partially right, but you're not fully on the mark. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 25 with me. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Pretty popular verse. Preachers, church people use it to say we should not be forsaking the assembling together. Now, let me draw your attention to verse 21. And having an high priest over the house of God. Stop and think about that. Having a high priest over the house of God. So who's over this church? The high priest is. Who is that? Jesus Christ. He's over it. You just honored your pastor, but Jesus Christ is over this church. Can I get an amen? Amen. So in a few moments, through the, I believe, to be the Apostle Paul in writing Hebrews, at least this section, we're about to see, with the inspiration of God, some duties given to us as church members. And remember, who's over the household of God? Jesus is. So there's going to be some duties here. Now look at verse 22. Look at the term, let us. Look at verse 23, another term, let us. Verse 24, and let us. Do you see the action there? Now watch this, verse 22. And let us draw near with a true heart and fullness of assurance, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. It's in parentheses now to draw your attention to it. For he is faithful that promised. Verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. See, right here in this passage, we have a simple set of instructions to us. And if you look at verses 22 and 23, we have a duty, two of them, to God. And right here we see it, verse 23, look at it, 22, excuse me. Let us draw near. We are to draw near. We have a duty to draw near unto God. Now, don't forget this. Jesus Christ is the high priest of this church. And we are now being told in Scripture that we are to draw near to God. James 4:8 says this, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. See, our greatest duty to God is that we are to draw near to him. It's to trust him, to draw near to him. Secondly, in verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. See, we have a duty to God to draw near to God, and then we are to have a duty to hold fast our profession of faith. Hebrews 3:6 says, but as Christ has the Son over his own house, we know that to be true, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Basically this, keep on hanging on and trusting God's word, even when you don't see things happening. It's easy for me to say, keep on hanging on and trusting, even when you don't see things happening. It's almost like when you're planting a garden. You work on the soil, you get it ready, you put the seed in there, you water it, and you just don't see things happening. But from experience and from nature, just keep on trusting. Something's happening underneath it. We have a duty to draw near, to draw closer to God, and he will draw nigh to us. In terms of in the household of God, in terms of assembling together, when we come together, assembling, Hebrews 25, 10, 25, we are to draw near to God, and he will draw near to us. Part of coming to church should be drawing near to him, and he will draw nigh to us. Part of coming to church is that we should learn how to hold fast our profession of faith, even when you don't see things working. We have a duty to God to draw near to him, to hold fast our profession of faith. And then if we look at the next verse, verse 24, and let us consider one another. Now, this isn't a duty to God. Those are the first two. Remember, I'm being repetitive on purpose. The first two duties are for us to draw near to God within the household of faith and then to hold fast our profession of faith. And now verse 24 gives us a duty to each other. We are to look at it now in verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to do good works. Let's just take this term, consider. Do you know what consider means, biblically speaking? To observe, one another. So we are to consider one another. We have a duty to God, I'm being repetitive on purpose, to draw near to God, to draw nigh to Him. He will then draw nigh to us. We have a duty to God to hold fast our profession of faith in Him, even when we don't see things working. And we now are given a duty to one another, that we are to consider one another. And instead of using the word consider, we can find this word at its root meaning, to observe one another. And again, look at verse 25. While we assemble together, we are to consider one another. Take the word to consider and put right beside it, observe. We are to observe one another while we are assembling together. Put it this way. You can only observe if you see one another on a regular basis. You can only observe, and you are seeing as I am seeing, we are to consider or observe one another. See, we are to admonish one another. Colossians 3:6 tells us that. 3:16. Every one of you as individuals are to come together and observe one another. Each other individually as a whole. We are to consider one another, to provoke one another. Do you know what provoke means? To call to action. To stimulate, to challenge. We are to consider one another. We are to consider one another like observing one another. You see, if you're to come here and to be really following these duties, two duties to God, remember what they are? To draw nigh to God, to hold fast your profession of faith, and now we have a duty to one another. And Scripture says that you all, and I'll just put myself in the context too, but we have a duty to one another, to consider one another. To observe one another. That just isn't just every once in a while. It's on a regular basis. That's the way that this is even written in the Greek. We are to observe one another. Meaning this, you are to be here regularly, to be observing others, to be observing, considering one another, so that you can exhort one another, so that you can rebuke one another, so you can challenge one another, so you can love one another, so you can comfort one another. When you are to come here, assembling ourselves together, we have a duty to one another, to consider one another. And isn't it a shame that if sometimes people will come in here, I don't know this to be true, but you're just people, and this is in the Scripture, if someone was to come in here and they needed comforted, encouraged, exhorted, loved, and they didn't get it from the regular members of this church, something just went wrong. If people come in here and it's almost like at times this should be like a rescue house. This should be like a salvage yard. This should be where people that have wrecked lives can come and have things started to be put back together. But it's going to take more than just a preacher, an associate, and some deacons. It's going to take everybody to consider one another. Because I'm quite confident they're not going to be able to get everybody to consider one another. And if you're here this afternoon, and if you actually are the one that needs encouraged, this is what Satan would say to you. You don't need to go to that church. They're not going to help you. I mean, you need help. Go somewhere else. Wouldn't it be a shame if someone came here and they didn't get someone to consider them? Yeah. To consider them, to reprove. Yeah. That's my gift, Brother Copes. I am the ultimate reprover. God didn't give you that gift. You're lying. No. I'm confident of this. Before you can reprove me, you got to first show me you love me. And your words are cheap to me. You got to really show me. And you can't show me in one Sunday. You can't show me in one Sunday night. You can't show me every once in a while. You got to really dig in. Yep. And after a while, you can reprove me, but you got to show me you love me. Yep. Now, boy, this is good on Pastor Appreciation Month. Just nailed Brother Jeremy. He needs to consider us. No. See, when I think of the people that considered me, their names would be Ralph, Pat, Heron, Wendy Carell, Brian Heron. I could go on. Names that wouldn't mean anything to you. I could give you some pastors' names, and you might even recognize them. It's almost like I could list you off a name of some really, really some Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Yep. Tom Brady, Terry Bradshaw. You'd know their names. But then if I listed off some of the offensive linemen for Terry Bradshaw or Tom Brady, you wouldn't know their names. But those are the guys that did a lot of the work. Yeah. There's a lot of work to be done here. And it's going to take more than Pastor Gilbert. It's going to take all of you. And you're to consider one another. Yeah. It's like a garden. I don't do much gardening. But I've done a little bit of reading on it. Learned a little bit about it. I know that sometimes the husbandman, the gardener, will walk through the garden and he'll maybe pull up some weeds and such like that. And sometimes he'll see a particular plant that is just strong, straight, ready to produce the fruit. The bounty could be full there from this plant. You can just tell. And then next to it is this other plant. It's an identical plant. And it's starting to droop over. It's starting to really just bend over backwards. And it's starting now to... It's even now some of the leaves are getting down into the dirt, where the dirt is kind of caked up on the leaves. And when rain comes, it just splatters the dirt up upon the leaf. And that photosynthesis isn't happening to that plant because the dirt has covered the leaves. And I can see the husband, I can see the garden coming along through maybe a 5-gallon bucket. And he sees that plant that's drooping. It's going back into the dirt. He lifts it up. He doesn't yank it up. He slides his hand underneath the leaf, and breaks it up from the dirt, takes a cloth and dips it into that 5-gallon bucket of water, starts to wash off the dirt off that leaf. Gets the dirt out of it so some sunlight can get it. And then he doesn't snap that branch, but he just kind of coaxes it. Straightens it up a little bit. And then you remember a few moments ago that plant that was right beside it that was standing tall and strong. I've seen it before where the husbandman, the gardener, will take that plant and coax it up a little bit for that weaker plant, and then he'll take it and then he'll tie the two of them together where that one is just helping that other. Maybe here this evening, this afternoon, God's just kind of going up and down. And for some of us, he might just be just kind of lifting us up a little bit, taking the word, kind of cleaning us off. Maybe it's just starting to happen in your life. It's almost like he's just taking one step right now just to lift you up a little bit. He hasn't yanked you up. He hasn't broke you. He's been so kind and patient, breaking you up from the dirt of the world. He's now maybe trying to position you right beside the stronger plant. It's in the same garden. He's going to tie you off. But before that can happen, you got to be here. You got to be in the house of God. Whichever plant you are. If you're the strong plant, somebody's counting on you being here. If you're that weak plant, you want to get up from the dirt, you want to get up from the mire, you want to get up from where it's dirty, nasty, and let God tie you off. But you got to be here. It's because Scripture says that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, right? Verse 25. To exhort one another. And then you see this term so much the more as you see the day approaching. Folks, excuse me, time is going on. Time is clicking. I'm getting older and so are you. Time is clicking. I want to give you an illustration. I'll end with this. The next time you go to one of your beautiful forests here in Wyoming, try to imagine what is actually taking place under your own feet. Scientists have now discovered that the roots of trees come into contact with one another. And when the roots of the trees come into contact with one another, they start to produce or release something called mycelium. Mycelium links roots together from different trees, different species, and if one tree has access to water and another tree to the nutrients needed, and then another tree to the sunlight, mycelium is released and it helps them transfer the nutrients from each one of the trees to the tree that doesn't have the nutrients. Thus, the trees having the means of sharing with one another that ends up preserving them all. And it makes the forest stronger. Mycelium. Different trees in a forest. You're the forest and you're different trees. Aren't you glad y'all don't look exactly the same? And down below, when you come to church and you consider your duty to one another, you're supposed to, not in a big formal program, let's have mycelium day. No, it's grassroots. It's down below where people don't even see it. I want to be true to really what I think God created here. Down below, it's just a natural thing. Yeah. You see, Wendy didn't jump into a program to reach Jeff Copes. Wendy just saw this young man, and she ended up being Pam's roommate later in life. Wendy just saw this young man that looked like he needed a friend. Yeah. I can remember coming to Temple Baptist Church, and it was before I was saved. I just went because my parents made me. If you're going to live in my mother and dad's home, you either go to church or they kill you, one of the two. They don't let you move out, they just kill you. So I went to church. I remember driving to church, and I'd have a cigarette, and I wouldn't dare smoke in the church parking lot, but I'd throw the cigarette out just before I got to the parking lot. I thought that was a righteous thing to do. And I can remember going to church, and I know I smelled smoke. And I can remember Wendy, after a while, she'd get to know me. She wasn't the handshaker, she was the hugger. Wendy had arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis. Wendy was crippled like that, and I'm not exaggerating. Before she died, she was in the fetal position. The rheumatoid arthritis took her body. Wendy would shuffle up. She wouldn't walk. She'd shuffle up to me. She'd say, "Jeff, come here." She'd just reach out and give me a hug. I remember one guy, his name was Terp. He was a bricklayer. He's a man's man. He's from West Virginia. He came up to me, and remember when I first got a haircut? Man, I needed one. No one ever told me to get a haircut. No one ever told me to get a haircut. I just felt like I need to get a haircut. I got a haircut. Terp came up to me, and I've never had anybody ever compliment me on a haircut in my life. This guy didn't stop talking about my haircut. He started calling people, "Look at the haircut this guy got." He's just loving on me. Yeah. It wasn't the pastor. Brother Carell preached, my pastor, he preached the Word of God faithfully. But it wasn't him who was enacting mycelium. Let me look at you for a minute. Yeah. It was people just like you. That had something that I needed. They didn't quite know it, But they knew it. They knew I was leaving another group of people, the wrong people. They knew I'd have that void. They knew I needed some new friends. They knew it. Yep. They knew I've listened to the wrong music. They know that I needed to have opportunity to hear the right music to have that. They know that I needed preaching. They knew that more than Saturday night that they would ended up calling me on Saturday nights at 6 o'clock on Saturday night, and they'd say, "What are you doing?" I'd say, "I'm just, you know." I didn't know what to say because I knew I wasn't supposed to be going out to the bars anymore. And they'd say, "Hey, we're coming down to pick you up." And I'd say, "Well, what time?" And they'd say, "Well, we're actually out front of your house right now." You know, they just loved on me. They knew Saturday nights were going to be hard for me. Mycelium. Did you ever know that's happening underneath? Keeping a forest strong. How many of you love the unity here? Can I get an amen? Amen. The spirit here. Yeah. If you love it, you ought to fight for it to keep it. Mycelium will help you keep it. But if you come to church and you don't consider one another, you won't be mycelium Christians at all. And if you expect he's going to have to do it all, it ain't going to happen. The forest is too big. God has not planned for this church to be built upon one man. No way. He gave you a clear plan. The head of this household says, you have a duty to draw near to me. You have a duty to hold fast your faith. And you have a duty to one another, to consider one another so much the more as you see the time approaching, the days coming. And it's not just assembling together. It's doing that work, considering one another. In order to do it, you got to be here. And if you're the one that needs to be encouraged, if you're the one that needs to learn, if you're the one that needs exhorted, if you're the one that needs loved, comforted, and taught, you got to be here. You got to be here. I put it this way. Class meets here every Sunday morning, every Sunday afternoon, every Wednesday. Class is in session. Be in class. Consider one another. Why? Because he's coming back soon. He's coming back soon. And your chance to reach those that are in your reaching sphere is limited on time. And if you need to be reached, and if you need this church to start to reach out to you, then I would challenge you this. One of the best ways, if you are in need of being ministered to, start ministering to others. It's a simple life principle. You just don't come to church and just assemble. You engage with each other. And I don't know any stories. I'm holding up my hands telling you the truth. I'll pillow my head tonight with a clear conscience. I don't know any stories, but I guarantee you there's people right now in this church body that need encouraged. And then there's some that maybe are not here that need encouraged. Yeah. And it's your all's job, your duty to them to try to help them. Yeah. And I will tell you, there's lay people back in Titusville, Florida, that to this day, this man stands where he is today, doing what I do for a full-time ministry vocation because of people just like you that invested in. Like only they could. Just stand with your heads bowed. Stand and we'll have just a word of prayer. I'll turn it right over to you, preacher. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time.